Hey and welcome to the Simply Create Business Podcast. These episodes focus on businesses based in the London and Essex area. We are bringing you their stories, the journey, and a great insight into them as people and their businesses. In each episode, we explore where it all started, where they are now, and what's next. Welcome back, and we welcome another great guest onto the show. Today we've got Matt from Made in the Mind. Follow his story, listen to how he started off, where he was playing football and got into sport, and how that evolved into the business that he has now. We're really excited to bring you this episode. So, as always, let's jump straight into the quick fire questions.
Are Jaffa Cakes a cake or a biscuit?
Biscuit.
Takeaway or restaurant?
Restaurant.
Instagram or Snapchat?
Instagram.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Mac or PC?
Mac.
Good choice. Autumn or spring?
Spring.
Music while you work or silence?
Yeah, I'm going to be nitpicking. What's the work? Would you define
work
as work?
As you're doing work. As in like office silence. Work.
Silence.
Okay. Good question. No one's asked that though. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Invisibility.
What is your least favourite chore?
Ironing.
Yeah. One thing you would definitely take to a desert island?
A book.
Might know the answer to this one already. Morning person or night person?
Morning, every time.
Yeah, considering we're doing this, anybody listening, first thing in the morning, I kind of gathered that. Favourite album, past or present?
Oh, it's Oasis. It's either What's the Story, Morning Glory, or Be Here Now.
Fair. Strong albums, to be fair. Peanut butter, crunchy or smooth?
Neither.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Nights in or nights out?
Nights in.
What's your favourite sport?
Football.
Breakfast or dinner?
Dinner.
And if you were going to ask a future guest a question like that, an either or, what either or would you potentially give them? So if I was going to ask a future guest.
Future guest, it would be... Oh, good question. Future guest, what would be my either or?
You can come back to it, or you can say you haven't got one, that's all right.
Sorry, say again?
I said we can come back to it, or you can say you haven't got one.
Yeah, let me mull it over.
Let's jump straight into asking questions that you definitely know the answer because it's all about you. So we start off the podcast by you introducing yourself, Matt. They know your name because I've called you that, but tell them about Matt. What your hobbies are, how you got started, where you are now. Give people an overview of who Matt is, really.
Brilliant. As I say, thank you very much for that. My name's Matt Young. I am a peak performance coach. I operate in and around the London area and around the suburbs of. I delve into mindset approaches, physical training, relationship coaching, career coaching, and it's something that I'm really, really passionate about, to say the least. It is something that is a meaning for me in life. It's a drive. It's an ambition of mine to add value to as many people as possible. This has been a sort of an ongoing growth and project that started for the last 4 or 5 years now, and it's a culmination of where we are being touted as one of the fastest growing peak performance coaching businesses in London. We work with over at the moment 120 different people, both individually and in groups. And as I say, that's been going on for the last 4 to 5 years. Prior to that, I grew up in Essex, in Romford, near there, Harold Wood. And from the age of about four onwards, all it was for me was professional football. That was what I was going to be. That was where my life was going to take me. That is what I was going to do. And at 18, I signed my first professional contract at Southampton Football Club. I was there for 4 years. I left school at 16, went down there as an apprentice, was there for 4 years until 20. And then since then, I've had various other clubs, Sheffield Wednesday, been up to Carlisle, played in Kidderminster, Dover, Woking. And more recently, I've been at Chelmsford and, Chelmsford and Woking, as I say, sorry. That's taken me into more part-time, hence why in the last 4 or 5 years, where the performance coaching has always been a massive, massive drive of mine. And even from back then, I always knew that football, you generally can't play that when you're 55. So I knew that come the end of my football career, this is what I was going to get into. Now, the course of events that have taken place have led me to be semi-professional earlier than I thought I would be when I retired. And that's been a blessing in disguise for me, because it's enabled me to put this into place now. And I still play football semi-professionally, but I've also been able to fast-track the process of me building this business and this sort of life that I want to live in terms of adding value to people much quicker. And to be honest with you, it's been one of the best things that's happened to me. That's where we are now.
What position do you play back?
I'm a right back. So to liken me to anyone in the modern day, I'm not as quick as Kyle Walker, so I wouldn't try and put myself on that pedestal. I'm more of an Azpilicueta type. I'm sound defensively, but I'll also bomb on and join in and get a few assists here and there. So
that's good for anyone who knows about football. That I think that helps
or some old managers, they might disagree.
Okay, so let's talk about we're going to go deeper into the performance coaching and the peak performance, my understanding is it's both mind and body in some ways. Yes. But obviously a lot of focus. But what do you think was maybe the trigger? What got you into it? So you said it's become a big part of who you are and what you do, but what happened and how?
Honestly, I've always been, especially in my younger age, I've always been a pleaser in that I've always wanted to, and it's taken a lot of self-analysis and coaching to come to this, but I've always wanted to impress people. I've always wanted to get people's approval, get people's recognition. Now, there's a number of reasons for that taking place and everything else. Now, I used to do that for a variety of different ways, whereas, for example, if you like rock music and I didn't really like it, but we was hanging out, I love rock music. So it would be something like that. But through sort of self sort of analysis with it all, it's been a stage of for me personally, there's been so much, how can I call it? Not to be a sob story, but so much sort of pain in my sort of outlook on things. Mm-hmm. My underlying drive with it all is I never want anyone else to feel pain mentally, internally, and spiritually, emotionally, mm-hmm. like I have. Now, let me be very clear. There are many people out there that have suffered a lot, lot more than me. And I'm not by any means saying that I'm hard done by or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But this was an avenue for me that I created and molded that I felt like it was such a drive. I don't feel like I'm pushed to do it. I feel like I'm pulled to do it. I feel like it's my meaning to be able to go out there and first of all share all my experiences and all of what I've learned and everything else up until now and continue to learn, but also go out and be that inspiration, be that inspiration, maybe a bit of a strong word, be that be that guidance, whatever you want to call it, for someone to be like, okay, I don't want to be in this position no more.
Yeah.
Someone help me with it. And I'll step up to that and go, yes, right, let's go. Because that is what I'm about. I don't care the background of people. I don't care the backstory. I don't care where they come from, anything like that. If someone's hungry and someone's driven to want change and want better and everything else like that, then we're wrong. Because that is from insane amounts of things that I've done with football, with life, with relationships, with everything, that I've know the principles and I know the methods and the techniques and the values of what is needed to take you from this position to this position. And that is really my driving force, that anyone who wants that to go, and but they're a bit unsure of power, to go, right, let's go and do this. So, yeah, and sort of avoid the question.
Tell anyone listening, Matt, what when was the point maybe then that you turned it into a business? So when was the point where you thought, yeah, I want to do this? Into a
business, it was probably 18 months to 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm
listening. Into a business that was, but even when I was younger, even when I was 14, 15 at school, things like this, if I used to do this then when I wasn't even consciously aware that this is the avenue I wanted to go down. If there was someone with something, I just used to feel someone had an issue or a question or something like that, and I don't mean like what's the answer to this like maths question, I mean like an issue with whatever's going on at school or something like that, I felt compelled to want to help that person. Now I'm not saying that from like a point of I'm up here and they're there and I'm trying to bring them up, that's not what I'm saying, but I can resonate with that. I've, as I say, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I've been places that maybe I brought it on a lot myself, but I've been to the depths of it many, many times. And I know that when it is there, all you want is that guidance to show how I can come to this higher ground, if you like. That's metaphorically.
But, and
as I say, so even at school, I was even doing that then with things with like family, all sorts of stuff that I was even doing it then without me even consciously being aware if that's what I wanted to do. Then I grow older, I go into football, and that takes... that's the forefront of things. But I was still, even with football clubs then, like, a big thing of mine is even like with football clubs and things like that, I've always tried to drag people up. If I'm fitness testing and I'm very good physically and fitness testing this and that, it's never been about for me sort of trying to get on top of people to push them down to elevate me. It's, no, bring you up with me, and then that pushes me on further.
Yeah.
So it's been a culmination of all these things that have all sort of built up, and where, and then I got to around the age of 19, 20, and then I had a big, big experience in my life that we can get into if you want. I'm happy to share in a bit, but it really moulded what's gone on now, and that was my real kickstart of, okay, this is what I want to do in my life. So
I think that sounds like, as well, you've become, like you said, it's gone from conscious being unconscious to conscious, in terms of you've become more self-aware of that's the person you are, and realise you've been doing it, and now you're doing it on purpose, if that makes sense.
That is exactly it. It is that self-awareness. Obviously, you grow up and sort of your world being moulded, and you're moulding the world in front of you, and you grow up with beliefs and everything else like that. And then it gets to a stage where you're looking at sort of life and you're looking at where you want to go with things. And I've always been very sort of clear. One thing that I've been blessed with is very clear of what I want to do. It was football, if it was whatever it may be, if something at home, if there's a job to be done, it'll be done. And then I've sort of always sort of, even when I've been playing football and still play football, it's the adding value that really drives me the most. And football's a great avenue for that, because you see the impact it can have on people, and it's sort of, yes, where there's thousands of people go and watch every week. But where before, as I said to you before, it was a sort of not a negative, but maybe a neutral way of trying to impress people by trying to, I want to impress you and do this and do that. And like many people do today socially, and there's social smoking, whatever it may be, because they want to fit in.
Yeah.
It was then looking at it and going, okay, how can I turn this into something here? In something that's positive, something that's going to really make an impact and everything else like that. And I sort of, through a combination of things, through experience, through everything else, and through an actual real in-depth analysis of myself, realised that this is, it's not a job, it's not a work, it's not a career, it's my meaning to do this. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. That's why, honestly, without sort of being too presumptuous and too strong about it. I feel like I can add so much value and be so strong about it.
When, and I don't know, kind of either way this question can go, but when did you ever feel like, and I suppose this is football, or you're maybe too early necessarily in business, but did you ever get to the point of, I can't do this? So like football's like, no, it's not for me, or I can't. I mean, you've just talked about it kind of almost being your calling. So maybe you haven't felt that, but maybe there's that point in time where you felt like you couldn't do whatever it is you wanted to do.
Yeah, many times. Obviously, I don't mean to say it's cliche or to try and make myself come across in any sort of way, but the biggest blessing, one of the biggest blessings I've had in my life is that, honestly, I have effed up. I have failed at things more than anyone I know, whether that'll be football, whether that'll be other jobs, whether that'll be relationships. Like, I've just messed things up. But one thing that I need to give my mum and dad so much credit for is that I've always had the ability to take the experience, and after I've got over the emotional emotional attachment of it, to step back and look at how can I learn from it.
Yeah.
And then the process changes from suffering to growth. I've gone from a state of, I can't do this. Like, I've been thinking football before, where I've gone trials and this and that, and I've been to 10 trials and 2 months, three, whatever, and everyone said no. But honestly, it's always been a case of, okay, what have I learned from that? Let's take that to the next one. Now, don't get me wrong, there comes a stage where you have to look at it and go, right, why does this keep happening? But at the same time, every single thing that has happened, and I mean this with hand on heart, every single thing that has happened that has caused me pain mentally, emotionally, spiritually, after I've come out of the emotional attachment here, I've looked at it and I've learned from it and taken that forward. So at the time, yeah, it feels like, you know what, I can't do this and everything else, but I've always found a way through that process.
I think it's important as well. You mentioned your parents, and I've talked about my parents a lot as well, is that, and it's not always going to be your parents, but it happens to be in both our scenario, but it's to have someone who can reassure you those kind of things, who can instill those things in you. Even if it's a friend, an auntie, an uncle, whatever that might be, someone close to you, that can reassure you that those kind of principles, that we all mess up and we can all fix it and make another way around it. And I think that's an important highlight, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong, mum and dad are incredible people, beautiful people, wouldn't change them for the world. But a lot of it, sort of some of the things that I've learned have come from things with them, differences with them, differences in opinion or things like that, where you sort of grow up, and when you're young and everything else, your mum and dad are these sort of incredible, but they still are, but do you know what I mean? They are the people that you learn from, that you gauge off of, and then you grow to become a mini version of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that have happened in my life and I've learned from and been able to sort of dissect and look at have come from differences with them.
Mm-hmm.
So although they've been there for me no matter what, and with things with football and life and everything, they've been supportive and they love me, and I know that more than anything. But I'd say parts of my biggest growth have come from conflict with them. I don't mean that conflict in too strong a word, but from differences in opinion and through sort of things where I challenge that belief and they disagree and everything else like that. And then it molds my sort of outlook and shape from there. So, yeah, so there's for me, whatever situation I'm in, it might just be my outlook. It's always a case of, what can I learn from this? What can I gain from this? What can I use here to take forward?
I'm with you 100%, definitely.
That is a case of, if I've obviously failed as such, then it's obvious. I can sit there, I can look it up, I can dissect it. But more, I do it a lot with people who I work with all the time. When I've won, when I've succeeded, what have I done? Because at the end of the day, there's that old saying, success leaves clues. And it is exactly that. Like, to be, like my dad always used to say, to be successful, copy a successful person. Now, I know that sounds pretty blunt and blasé, but it is sort of the essence of it, that success leaves clues. So I know when I've failed, I can look at it and go, right, that didn't work for whatever reason. But also when I've won, when I've succeeded, right, that did work, whether that be relationships, career, life, whatever it may be, business, there's principles that all say so.
No, definitely. I agree with you 100%. I think you can learn a lot more and a lot quicker from your failures failures. But at the same time, like I said, when you realize that you've had a success in whatever, however you're defining that success as well, we forget to give ourselves a tap on the back and say, well done. Yeah, We won't reward ourselves. So.
Exactly. A lot of, like for me personally, a lot of things where, as I say, I work with people and I see as well, is that a lot of the times we strive and we work so hard and we put so much effort into achieving something and we get it, but we don't celebrate it. We don't embrace it. We don't like sort of fully immerse ourselves in it. It's like, okay, cool, right, yeah, brilliant. But I'm all for growth and I'm all for not sort of staying at a, like sort of plateauing and sort of everything else. But unless you celebrate the small successes and the successes along the way, you're never going to really be fulfilled, because there's always going to be, oh, I need that now. Yeah. I need that. I need to work for that. So a lot of it for me is always celebrating small successes, excuse me, along the way. The other day I cooked dinner for my girlfriend. Beautiful shepherd's pie. Come out, looked at it, I was jumping around the kitchen table like you wouldn't believe. What I'm saying is that obviously that's the sort of essence of like what I'm getting at, that them successes, you have to sort of build on them. Because not also does it sort of raise your vibration, raise your energy levels, but it's also programming your mind, your subconscious, to look for them things where you can feel that way. So when things happen at work then, or in your relationship, where before you'd be like, oh, that's nice, you'd be like, no, I really appreciate that, because you're more programmed to celebrating them smaller successes rather than these big events that we think we have to strive for all the time.
Yeah. And it breaks all of those stages down into bite-sized wins and successes as well, rather than something that you put out of your reach, that you can get there, but it takes so long to get there that you, again, forget the process and the journey that you went on to get there.
Exactly. If I was 5 years old and you look at sort of, if I'm 5 years old and I look at, oh, I want to be a professional footballer when I'm 18, you think of 13 years or whatever it may be. Obviously, you wouldn't think it at five, but at that time, you don't even think of that. All you're thinking about is your next kick around on the green with your mates.
Yeah. Then after
that, I've got a game Saturday. Then after that, you think this. And then you get to 12 and you're thinking, oh, I want that contract at the end of the year. And you break down, you still stay with that end goal in mind. You still stay with that focus and that doesn't change. Yeah. And then the process of that, you break down into chunks. And then when you make it, then you go out on the green with your mates and you score a great goal and everything. You celebrate it like that. And then it comes to the Saturday and you play an actual game and you do really well. And you celebate that. And the next week, signed. And the process is there, but with that end goal in mind at the time.
So tell people what stage you're at with your business now. So what's the point you've got to? You've obviously gone through all of this trial and error. You've got yourself into the place where you really know what you really want to do. You've started that. Tell people where is the business? What is it called? What do you do? Tell people how you can help it.
Yeah, the business is called Made in the Mind. Made in the Mind is a peak performance coaching business. As I touched on earlier, we work with and work closely with people and organisations that delve into mindset approach. Now, that can be from sort of life sort of aspects, or that can be from general outlook on things or situations or stress, unhappiness, sadness, depression, or whatever it may be. Or just general wanting to push further. There's a lot of people we work with that don't come to me and sort of say, oh, look, I'm feeling this sort of way. But they're like, look, I'm at here in my life. I want to take it to here. Can you help me in this area? So there's mindset coaching. There's also physical training. Now, personal training, whatever you want to call it. But basically the essence is moving your body. Because moving your body as just a way creates emotion. And emotion creates action. Action changes and creates your life, basically. And that starts with a movement of your body. If you sort of, you know what it's like, if you sort of sit there all day on the sofa, you feel sluggish, you feel like you haven't moved anything else. If we used to sit here now and just cheer for about 10 seconds and get excited, your vibration changes, you're ready, you sort of attack things from a different level. So that can go from, that's different for different people. can be a walk around the park for someone, moving their body, just getting themselves out, or for others that might be running an ultra marathon. So that's just tailored to you. So we work on mindset coaching, we work on physical training, and we also work on relationship coaching. Now that is, excuse me, that works with individuals or couples. Obviously, as I say to everyone, that two forces are stronger than one. So if two people are pulling in one direction, then the results and everything else are going to be substantially quicker. Mm-hmm. However, we also work with a lot of people who are part of a relationship, and they come to me and sort of say, look, I'm having trouble here, or can we work on this, or I want to take this to the next level, or this is where I'm at, and we speak about it from that point of view. So it's important that, first of all, the underlying thing is that you want change and you know why you want change. Like, so you might come to me and go, look, I really want to take my relationship to the next level. I just want to ignite that passion. I just really want to feel connected, whatever it may be. And the fact that you're coming to me, it shows me that you want it, because in doing that, that's the first step to anything, is making that decision. So as I say, I'm going a bit off topic. Mindset coaching, physical training, relationship coaching, career coaching. Obviously, I've got a good background in it myself, and everything else. That can be from anyone who gets up, works maybe 8 hours a day, very routine. They feel like, yeah, they do it, they pay their bills, brilliant, but there's more. They want more. There's something in there that's a little voice, whatever you want to call it, says, you know what, this isn't what I was meant to do. Can be that aspect. We work with people in the city who do really well for themselves, make lots of money, happy, everything else, but they want more. They want to push for more. They want more. And there's also people who have sort of been laid off their job, sort of not working at the moment. They're like, look, I need to do something. I just need a bit of structure. I need a bit of guidance. Basically, we work on this. I want to go down this avenue, but I haven't got the first clue where to start. Mm-hmm. So they're the four main sort of things. They're the four main sort of areas of what I feel that really control our lives. So there's mindset, which comes into life. There's our physical training. There's relationship coaching. There's career coaching. And I'm telling you, if you get a tick in all of them boxes, then you're going to live a happy, fulfilled life. Now, obviously, as a branch off of that, the demand to sort of have the physical training is very high, because it's a bit more socially sort of accepted to go and get physical coaching. Mm-hmm. But if you go and get mindset coaching, it's, oh, what's the problem? No one says it about physical training. People have personal trainers everywhere. Because they're personal trainers and not coaches and everything else, and the stigma attached to it. If you say, oh, I'm mindset coaching, people are like, okay, what's the matter? If you go and say, I'm getting physical training, people are just like, oh, okay, good for you. So that's a very much a stigma attached to it at the moment. But obviously, as I say, the demand for that physical training is very high. So as a branch off of that, we do group exercise training where Maybe the Mind is employed by several gyms, several studios, boutique studios around London, where we go in, we take classes from a range of different things, boxing, hip, strength classes, also functional fitness around London, and sort of take their class for them, whether that be in the morning, afternoon, and we really sort of have a group of 12 to 20 people, whatever it may be, and really implement our sort of value in the way that we train physically in that session. So they're the sort of five main characters. Obviously, one is a branch off. The business is, I say, I quit business because that is what it is, but it's not a business. It's a way of life that, regardless of whether sort of football wasn't around, this is what I would be doing. Yeah. If the world didn't involve money, then it wouldn't matter, because this is what I'd be doing out every day anyway. So there is them branches that we work with. Now, it's a stage of, sometimes we work with people on a mindset sort of coaching, or we put them through a program. We do 6 to 52 week programs. That's how it works. You know, there's a 6 week program, there's a 3 month program, a 6 month program, and a 12 month program. Reason we don't work off a one off session is because, like anything, you go and dip your toe in I see what it's about. You don't really commit. There has to be a commitment there. I always say that if it's 50-50, there's 100 left on the table.
Yeah, you need
to be 100, we bring 100.
Yeah, of course.
If you do that, there's that commitment, there's that decision to take it to the next level. As I say, it all starts with that decision. So we might start with someone who work on purely mindset coaching. They do their own physical training. They go boxing 3 times a week. They're happy with that. We work purely on that. On the other hand, someone might say that we work with sort of people in businesses and corporations where they already have people in to do their mindset coaching, but they say, you know what, we like your background. We know what you do. We spoke to so-and-so at this company. And they've highly recommended, do you want to do some physical training, whatever it may be? And people, companies, organisations, groups will sort of come to us and sort of say, this is the area we want to go down. Couples, whatever it may be, will come to me, come to us and say, this is where we want to go down. That is the essence of what we offer, if you like. And every single program, every single program as such that we coach is a personal interaction. I don't personally at this moment believe in sort of a web sort of interactive sort of service. If you're going to get value from us, you meet and we get it done.
Yep.
It's not a sort of, oh yeah, I'll send you across this plan, just stick to this, stick to that. Okay, we're going to turn up, we're going to commit to a time, we're going to do this and we're going to work at this.
And again, so that people take it seriously as well, right? They're committed.
It is that. Just don't get me wrong. Believe me, there will be no one in London, there will be no one who is in this business, in this industry, that is going to work to put in more value towards someone helping them achieve their goals or outcomes, whatever that may be. For someone that might be losing £6, for others that might be overcoming depression, for others that might be achieving that dream goal. The process from our side of it and the effort level will be at a level that will take you to that. However, if that other person, they haven't got enough awareness of how to do it or the knowledge of how to do it, that's not down to them. They just need to show up with 100%. If they're willing to do that and they're hungry to do that, then they've got the golden ticket. Because the knowledge and the awareness and the experience and the study and the research and the just general accumulation of things that we have gathered over the years and put into place, into programs, into structures, allows us to go follow these principles. Each one is individual. Each one is tailored to physical, mental, relationship, career. It is tailored to you. The core underlying principles, put these in place, apply it to your couple, apply it to your work, apply it to your mind, apply it to your body, whatever you want, it will produce these results. But as I say, if we're going to come and sort of dip our toe in and see what the water's like, we ain't going to get there. You need to jump in and sort of take that commitment. That is the only thing we ever ask from the client.
We'll be getting right back into the interview in just a moment. We just wanted a chance to say thank you very much for listening. If you're not already, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Also, we'd love to hear from you and your thoughts on the podcast, so please make sure you get in touch on any of the social media platforms. And finally, if you're listening to this in an app, please don't forget to rate and review. It's really appreciated. Right, straight back to it.
And anybody listening to this that is interested in that, where can they actually find you? Like, obviously, one of the things of the podcast is to promote the people that come onto it, but how do they get in contact specifically with you or how do they find you?
Of course, we're on all social media platforms, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and that's Made in the Mind. You can find us on there, drop us a direct message, drop us a private message, that's no worries at all. You can find us on our website, www.madeinthemind.com, and it goes into much more detail to do with programs, to do with who we are, to do with who I am, because ultimately I understand this. I've been there myself in this. You're sort of taking a lot of people, sorry to go off topic and I will bring it back around, but a lot of us at times we look out there to try and change in here. Mm-hmm. And from taking a step to work together with us, you're sort of taking that internal, and that's a big I understand. I've been there myself. That's a big thing. So I think it's very important that people understand who I am, where I've come from, and like who there's a person behind this sort of business, if you like, because otherwise it can get caught in the, well, this is just another company, it's just another thing, I'm just another part of the cogging machine. It isn't that. It is a personal interactive approach, personal intimate relationship, professional relationship with people who want change, end of, or want to create. That is what it is.
Anybody listening to this will get an understanding, again, a little bit more in depth of who you are and what you do. And
Exactly. You can see at times just from the way I talk, there's a lot of hammering, there's a lot of, but that's, I don't do it, you can see, I don't put it on. It's just what comes out of me when we talk about it.
Of course.
It's a real drive. So sorry, just to come back around to it. Yes, on all social media platforms, our website is www.madeinthemind.com. You can find anything you want on there. Alternatively, as I say, just drop me an email. That's matt@madeinthemind.com.
So anybody listening, you feel like you want to ask some more questions and get in more detail, then obviously, get in touch. That's definitely what the podcast is about, like giving people a platform to share their business and also awareness that people might not know that there are even these people that exist that will help them with, you know, their career, their relationships in the way that Matt's talking about. So we're going to kind of move the questions on a little bit to the present, and they kind of relate a little bit to my business, but at the same time, hopefully open the door for you to talk about it in relation to yours. So how do you feel like is the most effective way you've engaged with your local community? Now, there's local as in where you live or where you work, but there's also, I want to take it to kind of broader than that, your community in your industry as well. So obviously that's, networking, staying up to date with the latest and greatest or whatever. But how do you personally and your business stay in tune with community as a whole?
Well, it's funny you say this because we're actually putting in place at this very moment, we're putting in place a structure where our sort of philosophy is built around move, shape, create. Now, that is what we abide by. Move your body, shape your mind, create your life. And it starts with the movement. We are actually putting in place at the moment a community thing where every Saturday or Sunday morning, we gather free, completely free. Just all you've got to do is turn up, as I say, and we're going to go for runs. We're going to do exercising, boot camp, whatever it may be, where it brings people together and it's a complete immersive process where it connects people, sort of know people pulling in the same direction, a lot with a group exercise training where you just all immerse together and want to sort of push on and do something together. Now, see, in the community where we are in South West London, at the moment, it's a hotbed for sort of people wanting to get out, move. There's the river, there's the Thames, it's all nearby. So it's perfect. So it's a lot of that where people, well, that's exactly what we're putting into place. So it's perfect timing with a question that in the next couple of weeks or so that people can come join us, just turn up this place at this time and we're going to go for these runs, we're going to go for this little session here, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And it's a way of sort of bringing people together, getting people moving, getting people connecting, getting that sort of social aspect whilst also putting it into a productive sort of way. So that's obviously one thing.
Everybody, you can go back on previous episodes and realise I asked every guest that question. It just happened to be good timing for Matt.
Yeah, exactly. Unless I didn't really know he was going to ask that. So, yes, that was perfect timing. As I say, where we are, South West London, it'll all be sort of made public when that sort of comes to fruition.
On your website and stuff like that as well, again?
It'll all be posted on the website, it'll be posted on social media. Nice. In a case of this is what we're working at. Saturday morning, Sunday morning, meet here this time. It'll be over weekend, so it's accessible for everyone. And as I say, it's just a thing to bring community together. And that way, also, people may also have, and it's not this technique, I hope people can understand that, it's not a sort of marketing technique, it is just purely a passion to bring people together, to add value and to get people moving, something that I'm passionate about. And with that, a lot of people may look at sort of what Made in the Mind and who I am and everything else is and say, okay, I'm a bit unsure. And it gives people a chance to come over, be part of that process, have a look, see what they and everything else. And
ask questions, okay.
So that's up to them. But yeah, so obviously we do that. A lot of recently, like personally, this is a bit of away from the business side of it. In the last month and a half, I ran an ultra marathon, and there was a lot of obviously there's a lot of personal stuff in there. There's a lot of sort of reasons that I wanted to do that personally, but a massive, massive drive of mine was the charity I was doing it for, and that was Family Action. And Family Action help underprivileged families, underprivileged kids in rough backgrounds, whatever, come up and sort of give them a platform in life. And it was something that I was massively passionate about. That's something that's very sort of close to me and something that I feel really strongly about. Yeah. And that was in June. That was my first ultra marathon.
Wow.
Yeah, it was tough, but we raised them.
How did it go?
I say it was really good. You said earlier about, is there times that I've just thought, I can't do this. I'm not going to finish this, and I'm going to fail. And everything else. And I got that in that run. As I say, you get them all the time, but they're glass ceilings. You power through, you shatter that glass ceiling, you've realised that's all it was, and your levels have moved mentally. That was exactly what happened in the run. It was a 53-mile run across the South Downs. Started in Chichester, ended at Winchester Cathedral, and I had my family there, I had my girlfriend there, I had sort of friends there. It was a great day, baking hot sun. And but as I say, 53 miles, 31 miles in, I was done.
I got to
a pit stop, and I was nearly at my wit's end. But as I say, it's just the power through and everything else. But sorry, I don't want to speak about that. But back to it, but obviously the massive, massive sort of impact that could have was the value I could add to Family Action, which is the charity. We raised a lot of money to them. We sort of give them and sort of helped in a meaningful way there. And again, that's something that's massively important. We'll continue to do that with the community. We'll continue to do that through charities. The bigger goal in the future is to sort of create our own charity and sort of to really have a hands-on approach, like from a personal point of view, and sort of direct that in the exact area that we want to add value. And as I say, that we're doing that at the moment, Family Action and everything else. But that sort of thing around sort of giving kids a platform, giving children the opportunity to, you know what, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter your backstory, that we're all from an equal playing field, go and create what you wish. And that's something that's massively passionate about me, and that is the bigger picture of it all.
Okay. Kind of jumping around with the questions a bit, but I think that obviously it's why I set up my business, is that creativity is really important to all businesses. This is obviously a personal approach. But one of my questions to all my guests is, how important do you think creativity is in your business, and how do you use it?
Hugely, hugely. Without creativity, without a vision, you have no map. You have no destination. Creativity is massive, massive. Now, creativity can come in many forms. It can come in sort of ideas in where we're going, where we're this, where we're that, or having a fixed goal and being creative in the process of how to get that. So, I feel like creativity is massive. Creativity for me is very much linked to freedom. When when you feel creative in yourself, you feel free, you feel like you can just, do you know what I mean? Like you can see in my body, you feel like that sort of way about yourself. You feel, you don't search for it, it just comes through you, creativity. Whether you want to call it divine intervention, whether you want to call it infinite intelligence, God, whatever you...
And you mentioned the last one of your tags was to create as well. So it was, there were three steps.
Move, shape, create. So yeah, that is exactly that, in terms of exactly what you're saying, that for us, obviously, our philosophy is built around moving your body to give you a foundation, shaping your mind to give you a structure. I always liken it to a house, and then create. So create the foundation of your home, shape the structure of your home, create your home.
Yeah.
Now, that's it in very blase terms. But as I say, if you want to take it to that like metaphor, it's great having the foundation and having the plans laid and everything else, which is great. And it's great even shaping sort of how it's going to look and everything else. But unless you go into creating that, unless you go into sort of delving into the ideas of how it's going to come about and teetering with little bits and pulling that bit out and putting that bit in and everything else, and just being fluid in that and not, I think a big thing of it with creativity at times is when we are creative, we expect that, I think it's a common thing that, okay, I'm going to put this into action. This is how it's going to work. But when that doesn't work, we're like, I shouldn't be creative anymore. I should. And you start to withdraw. But no, that's part of the process. Being creative is something that comes through you, as I say. It's not something you search for. When you're connected to your goal, when you're connected to a higher purpose of it, creativity flows through you and you find ways, you find the means of making it work, you find exactly what you're after. You hold that vision of, as I say, what we're trying to create, and you're just fluid with how to create it. Now, that can be different for every single person, but without, as I'm touching it, exactly what I said at the start, without creativity, there is no vision, there is no end sort of, you're never going to reach that end goal. So you speak about how important is it, and it's like what you're doing with the podcast sort of thing and everything around your business, that I'm sure you know that it's great putting all things in place, but unless you're creative with it, unless you're out there, unless you're visionary with it, it's not going to come to fruition. So yeah, and a roundabout way, it's one of the most important things.
I thought I was an advocate for creativity, but maybe you're even a big one, because that's a great answer, and I definitely believe it. I just think that some people shut the door to it because they think of creativity in one particular way, like it's, you have to be able to sing or you have to be able to, you know, draw, but it's more than
that. It is that rawness, and to be creative, you're putting yourself out there. So to be creative in a lot of ways, like, I use football analogies, but you look at creativity in football, you look at some of the best players in the world, they're the most creative. You look at Cristiano Ronaldo, you look at Lionel Messi, they're the most creative people. Look in business, you look at Richard Branson, you look at Bill Gates, look what they've created. That's creativity that they're doing. You look at any sort of platform of any sort of business, any sort of person that is successful, and they're creative. That is their underlying thing. And it's not, I'm going to try this once and be creative with this idea, and then if it doesn't work out, at least I tried with it. They're creative in many different ways while still having that end goal in mind. And no matter whatever way they need to, they're just creative in ways in finding that end goal. And that is sort of done before they've started. So,
nice. I think kind of going to the next stage is kind of almost about advice or help that you can give in this kind of last section. And it's obviously only short bits of advice in terms of you don't know everybody's background, but if you were going to help someone get started along the way of trying to achieve their goal, or they want to do something in particular, or they've got a vision already, what's one tip you would give them to get them on the road? So what's one thing you would say to them just to get them kind of started? And I know in your industry, this is kind of almost like a little bit of free advice, but just to something practical or something that they can do to get going, start that move in, if you like.
Yeah. Honestly, I get it a lot where people come to me and they say, I know what I want, but I just don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, that's completely fine, and I'll help with immediate, insane amount of ways to go about that. That's completely no worries. But to be self-sufficient, to have the tools to be able to do it yourself, to know how isn't as important as to know why and to know what. So you know what you want, you know why you want it. Just get started. That is honestly, whether it is building a house, whether it is going after a job, whether it is asking out that person that you fancy or whatever down the club, whatever it may be, just get started. Because when you get started with that vision, with that sort of that drive as well to go with it, it doesn't matter the process, you will get there. But a lot of people, I spoke about it a lot during this, is that decision. And it is that decision, just get started, just show up, however you want to say it, whatever paraphrase you want to use, mm-hmm. just show up. And even if you yeah, but I don't know where to start. Just do something in that direction. If you want to build a house, but you're like, I don't know the first sort of place of where to start, contact the builder, contact someone at the council to say, okay, look, I'm thinking about doing this. Contact someone who's relevant to, about that planning permission, whatever it may be, because just in doing that, you've already taken that first step, you already start opening doors.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leads to that. Oh, you walk down that path. Oh, no, actually, no, that wasn't where I'll go. Wasn't where I was meant to go. Let me walk back here. Let me try that path.
Yeah.
Let me open it. And honestly, with anything, everything, that is the number one thing for me.
Obviously. Okay, yeah. and so many people have said it as well, is you know, along the way, and I think it's some of the other guests, is that first step, although it's almost the most scary, it can be the most simple. It just needs to be something. Like I said, the actual first step was picking up the phone. You might actually call the wrong builder or the wrong number, but actually you took the first.
It's that first step, and it's, you know what it's like anything. Like, once you've done it once, you're like, oh, it wasn't so bad. I'll do that again. And that's what it is. It's just that step into the uncertainty. That is literally the. I do a lot of research of a lot of people, but one sort of particular coach, he talks about a terror barrier. And it is exactly that. It's sort of that unknown is the other side of, I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't really know how that's meant to go. So we just stay there and we don't do anything about it. But just if you just step that other side, you'd go, oh, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's like jumping a 10-meter diving ball. You don't want to do it. You do it once, you're like, right, get me back up there. So it is exactly that. If I could say anything, and even if people don't want to visit the website, don't want to speak to me, that's completely fine, honestly. But if I can add one bit of value from this podcast for someone to take away into their day, into their relationship, into their life, into their business, into their body, whatever they want, it's just get started. Just show up at the gym that day. Just make that phone call to your boss. Just, you know what I mean, tell your husband, tell your wife, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm feeling about this subject. This, do you know what I mean? Whatever it may be, just get started. I know I keep saying it, but that is the number one thing. It starts and ends with a decision. Once you make that decision, you've already taken the first step. Once you've taken that first step, doors are just open for you.
Yeah, leading on to kind of advice and practical, you kind of mentioned someone you were reading and the terror barrier just then, but can you give anybody who's listening some kind of resource, something you found helpful, or a tool that you found helpful along the way? It might be an app, it might be a website that you visit, it might be a particular book you've read multiple times or a film you've watched or something. Is there a recommendation based on you? Obviously, I know you don't know everybody who's potentially listened to this, but just something that might be helpful as a reference point for them to go.
Yeah, I'll say a couple, no worries at all. As for books, growing up, I was never a reader, hated it. But now I can't put them down. As soon as I finish one, I'm on to another one. One of the best books that I've read, without question, it's a very small book. It is published in 1906, I believe, by James Allen, and it's called As a Man Thinketh. And it is, in essence, all about cultivating the mind, all about what we talk about, shaping your mind. And it has such a condensed book, I think, if I'm correct, it's about 36 pages. But in such a condensed book, it provides so much knowledge, so much information, so much power, that it is honestly one of my favourite books, simply because of its simplicity, it's straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's an incredible book. Another book that I've recently finished was called Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl.
Okay.
That was about in the concentration camps, and he was part of it. He was a psychotherapist in the concentration camps, and he talks about, in essence, that they can do whatever they want to me, but they can't shake my mind. They can't steal my mind. That's one thing that I've sold possession over. And that's one, I can't recommend that high enough. So yeah, I'd say get started on them too. For me, when I first started, what really got me on the track was a book called The Secret. It's become quite popular now. People know it. And there was things that happened in my life just prior to that. And someone at the time said to me, "Well, just give the book a read." I was like, "No, I'm not much of a reader." skip it a read. What have you got to lose? All right, cool. I've read it, and I literally have in my calendar now the 8th of August. It is, I call it my purpose day, because that was the day where we spoke about it earlier, that I truly became, wow, this is what I'm doing in the world. I have to spread this. I have to do this. Now, I'm not saying that from some sort of big sort of woohoo-like type moment, but I'm just trying to say that was my decision. Do you know what I mean? When we say just start, that was my decision day that come through. So, yeah, them three books. The Secret is very, very good. There's some things that I don't fully agree with, because it doesn't really touch on a lot of action. It's a lot of mind stuff. It doesn't really touch a lot of action, but definitely, as I say, all three are great books. So definitely read them. In terms of sources of people to learn from, as I say, in life, in everything, you have coaches. Whether people know or not, or you're at school, you have teachers. When you go to university, you have lecturers and everything else. When you're at work, you have a boss. You have people to learn from all the time. And for me, in my field, there's so many people that I constantly take from. So from a mindset point of view, I love to learn from Tony Robbins, from Bob Proctor, the two people that are great in their field. I love to learn from Dan Pena, who's in the business as well. There's so many people in that field that I just get immersed with. Physically side of it, as people, again, there's just so many that are back up. David Goggins, Jocko Willink, Cameron Haynes. There's so much stuff out there.
More than enough for our listeners.
Yeah,
to
no, sorry.
It's great. Most, probably detailed answer. We've got that, but loads of the people got names trying to scribble them down as they're listening as quickly as they can to try and get.
Rewind this a couple of times, and then you'll be able to get there.
It's all right. I'll actually try and listen and put it in the show notes so people can use it as link and whatever. But I will try and grab it for them. What are you most excited about for your business in the next 12 to 18 months?
The amount of people we're going to add value to, without question, because the growth so far has gone like that, and I only envisage it going like that. Now, I'm not naive enough to know that there's peaks and troughs and things where sometimes I'm still failing, I'm still learning all the time. So I say failing, but I'm still learning all the time. So I have no sort of doubts that there's going to be things along the way that are going to set me back on that. But it comes back to what I say. I know the end goal. I know what I'm going to do here. I know that when people think of coaching, peak performance, you think of Matt Young, you think of Making the Mind. So that is so, so, so important that I know where it is going. And that is what I'm most excited about, that for as much as we have sort of done well so far and everything else, and I've been really happy and really sort of immersed in it, I'm more excited about where it's going. And that is going to somewhere where I'm going to be doing seminars, going into bigger organisations, having even more ground contact with even more people, and doing even more stuff in the community just to add so much value and fulfil people and help bring people up even. That is, without question, what drives me, what constantly drives me, and what will continue to drive me.
And finally, the final question, which is actually the other way around, is you get a chance to ask me a question, as I've put you under the pressure and fired these things at you. So you don't have to. And if you thought of an either or for other guests, then you can answer that. But you can email me that at a later date. But this is your chance to basically put me under pressure and ask whatever question you want. I never know what anybody's going to ask.
They've
all been fairly kind to me, I think. But yeah, if there's anything you want to ask, then fire away.
Definitely. Obviously, yourself with the podcast, with your business, doing great so far, and obviously you can see that. But I'd like, from my sort of personal point of view, I'd like to know, what's your progression? Where do you see yourself for 12 years? Where do you see yourself for 3 years? Where do you see yourself for 5 years, even? Where is it going?
Simply create goal. Oh yeah, that one. The Simply Create goal is kind of ever changing, there's a reason for that, and it is knowing that the goal will ever be changing. It's because the scenario in the world that we live in is ever changing, And one of the biggest parts of Simply Create that I haven't even really been able to get started on with helping people is about innovation. So it's how they can really start to innovate their life and processes, or their business life and processes, to get the best out of value for money, value for time, value for creativity, value for marketing and content, and all these different bits and pieces I haven't really got into. But potentially by the time I get to that point in the business, then everything would have evolved even more. So I have to be able to be as nimble as I can, to be and as agile as I can, that if when it gets there, the vision might not be of where I thought it might be. So my vision is actually always changing. But for the business as a whole, it's the podcast genuinely to be listened to by enough people to make change. And what I mean by that is I'm not looking for hundreds of thousands of listeners for, fame and glory. That's not what this is about. It's actually that someone I've had, a guest on my podcast, who I've had on there, turns around and goes, you know what, thanks for inviting me on that not so long ago, because X, Y, Z happened because of it. That, for me, that would make the podcast a success. Genuinely, and if that can happen, obviously more and more I have guests more and more times over. That's the vision for the podcast. Yeah. It's that only, and it will continue to be a platform I provide for free for both, obviously for any guest I have on, and continue to push out there for free as much as I can. For the business, it's I want to be self-sustaining. So at the minute I work part-time, and I work part-time for Simply Create. I want it to be its entirety. And my plan is to help businesses grow through creativity and innovation. So working out how they can be more creative in their business that will transpire to value, and obviously at some point turnover in terms of money or transaction. I really think that we're in a time with the internet and social media and stuff that small businesses, or businesses that are smaller, can actually start to compete against bigger brands if they become creative and smarter, rather than think about, worrying about how technology or how about XYZ is making their business smaller. For example, if you're opening a shop now, you really need to be thinking 10 years time, is that shop still going to be there? It could still be there, but depending on the type of shop. So you need to be thinking about bigger things and creative ways to bring those audience or customers in.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
just when you touched on at the end there, just if you don't mind, I'll just follow up. If you want to create that, if you want to open that shop, you're saying thinking about 10 years into the future and everything goes like that. Would that stop you now from doing it, from opening that shop? If you thought maybe 10 years in the future, there might be a risk there?
It wouldn't stop me necessarily completely, although I'll be asking big questions. It needs to be a really viable or in particular sectors. So for example, eating out, that's definitely always going to be something that people do, even though there's stuff like Uber Eats that are eating into that market. What's coming along that might eat into that market. But at the same time, it's actually knowing that if I have a shop, this is for the reason. So let's say you want to come big in your local community, then have a shop, make it a big splash, but potentially have an exit strategy or an online strategy as well, or a innovative strategy of what's coming. So I believe voice is coming. Pardon, sorry, what was that?
Oh, sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, exactly what you said there. You basically have a vision for a progression of growth.
Exactly. That's it. And I think up until now, because of the rate of change, things like shops haven't had that, and because they don't know what's coming, haven't been able to plan for that. But now you can see the rate of change, I feel like you can start to predict some of the things that are going to happen.
Yeah, completely. Brilliant. I have no doubt that you will be able to achieve that, because you spoke about obviously having one podcast on here and doing a podcast and one of these businesses taking off and everything else. Whether that be mine, whether that be someone else's, I have no doubt, because as I say, like, no sort of issue saying that we've sort of got in contact recently and everything else, but I can feel sort of your passion for it. It's probably like you can sort of sense mine through this.
And with that,
you will create that simply because of the drive and the why. So with that in say, where there is the little obstacles along the way, now we've spoke a bit in depth off camera, but we've spoke a little bit more in depth with that, and with the sort of vision of exactly what you've said, as long as there's that constant, exactly what you've said there, push for that progression of growth, and that's, you still operate with that end goal, that the creativity, the vision that you spoke about in between is irrelevant, because that will come to fruition anyway.
Exactly. So, yeah. And that may be trial and error along the way. Matt, it's been great to have you as a guest, so thank you very much for your time, especially early on the morning, even though you're a morning.
Otherwise, it's been a real pleasure for me. I've really enjoyed it, thank you, and I really appreciate your time. Just before I leave, I've thought of my question.
Yes.
I'd say, if you was on a desert island, would you choose book or person? That'd be my question.
Book or person? All right, I'll put that into the next guest, so stay tuned for that. People will start answering your question now, but yeah, great question. Thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure. All the best with everything, and you know where we are, and I hope that people take the time to listen to this and get in contact with you at some point.
Yeah, as I say, any questions, just fire them to me. I'll say you've got all the things here. If not, go through yourself. But no, just lastly, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate you having me on here, and I wish you all the success. I know we'll stay in contact, but yeah, long may continue.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the podcast. We hope you really enjoyed it. Podcasts survive on rate and reviews, so whatever app you're in, please rate and review it. And of course, like, share, subscribe, and comment. Spread the word on some of these great businesses.